Good to be here this morning. We just enjoyed our worship time together. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. And this jar here that I have up here with mixed vegetables looks nice. But it has something to do with that statement, and we'll get on into that later on. I was thinking of a song this morning that I would love to sing before we even get into the message. And it's 669 in the Songs of the Church, the purple one. Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior. No, that's the wrong one. I think we know it by memory. Let's just sing a verse of that. Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Close to thy breast, shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Yes, Lord, and draw near to us as we open up your word this morning and the things that you've, the scriptures and the things that you've given to me, Lord. I just want to be your messenger. Father, I thank you for your word and how it changes us. And how it washes over us. I just pray that you would take this message and drive it into our hearts, that it would bring solidity, that it would bring stability, because you are the rock of our salvation. You are the foundation we build on. You are the one that we draw together in oneness. Thank you, Jesus, for being precious to us and draw near to us as we together look at your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. I remember years ago, my mother would call out, "Jim, can you take out the garbage?" And I'd take a look at the garbage that she gave me. And I go, ooh. And I hated to carry out the garbage. A lot of times it smelled. And a lot of times it didn't look very pretty. And it was not very appetizing. So I tried not to look at it. I tried to cover it with something. And even in later years, often my wife would say, "Honey, could you take out the garbage?" And often it was after she cleaned out the refrigerator. You know how that goes sometimes. And it's not my favorite job to carry out the garbage. Well, this morning and this weekend, as I was before the Lord, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "You need to carry out the garbage in your life? I said, what, Lord? Because, you know, for some reason or other, some of the words that I was studying, some of the things that I was looking at was not getting into my heart. And God is saying, you know, your thoughts and the week that you had rubbing shoulders with ungodly people and so many ugly influences in your life has affected you, has affected your heart. And I found myself bowing before the Lord in repentance and saying, Lord, carry the garbage out of my life. And the verse he brought to me was, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and fluidity, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul, James 1:21. And you know, God's word should be such a part of us. It should just blend right into our lives and our hearts, engrafted. We have an apple tree out in the yard. Never did real well because I hadn't had time to take care of it. But it was an engrafted tree. It was a tree that had some old rootstock, and then they engrafted red delicious apple twigs into it so that it would produce red delicious apples. And it's amazing how that old stock, which I don't think it was a great apple, the stock that they used, but then by putting engrafting red delicious twigs to it, how that all blended together and red delicious apples come out of that tree. And it became part. It was just like part of that old rootstock. And same way in our lives, God wants his word to be such a blend into our life that it produces good fruit. But God spoke to me so much, and this was, really wasn't what I was planning to preach on, but he spoke to me so much. I just want to ask you this morning, have you carried out the garbage? Because if you're struggling this morning with the Word of God being boring and not wanting to get into your hearts, God is asking you to carry out the garbage. Does it seem like it just comes and then hits your face and that's all? It doesn't go into your heart. You don't understand it. And I believe often we don't understand the Word because our hearts are full of garbage. Filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, all the things that keep the Word of God from going into our heart, all the things that make our hearts hard. And as Psalm 95 says, harden not your heart, but let God come in and be the shepherd and teach you and take you into sweet green pastures that penetrate deep into your soul. And you know, as I began praying that prayer, I could feel the Word of God just pouring into my heart, and it made so much sense, and I understood it. My understanding was clearer. I said, thank you, Lord, for taking the garbage out of my life that I can think, and that your Word can penetrate into my heart, and it can do what you've designed it to do for me, why you put it there to change me, to convict me, there's people that I think have become so hard because they don't take out the garbage in their lives that the Word of God does not penetrate and just bounces off. You ever have that happen to you? Well, praise God. That was just brought such peace and joy deep within my heart as I felt God just carrying out the garbage and his word penetrating deep within. Hallelujah. I felt so compelled lately to share with you It's just a short message on baptism. I know there are some of you among us that have questions about baptism. I know that there are some that aren't baptized, and maybe you don't feel convinced that it's what God is calling you to do in your life. And I pray today that the Word of God would go deep into your heart, and it wouldn't bounce off. And for those of us who have been baptized, that we would be rejoicing this morning because we made that decision, and it'll take us to what it did to our lives when we said, "Yes, Lord." I mean, I remember years ago when I was 13 years old, and there was a whole row of young men sitting in the front said, "We want to be baptized." And some of them had ulterior motives. And it was sad, but I knew in my heart I was sincere and it was pure within me. And I remember, so we'd knelt in the carpet of the church in the front, and the water was gushing over me. I just felt such a peace in the Spirit of God coming into me that I found myself testifying, grateful that I was a Christian and that it was real. Now, it wasn't immersion. It was a pouring on. And you know, I think sometimes we get hung up with modes. Yes, the word baptism means immersion. But sometimes we get so hung up with things that we don't realize the work that God has done in our hearts. And that work that He did in my heart that morning, I felt like my baptism was so real. And God had just done a marvelous work in my life. So, you know, as one Christian comedian said, he said, we get so hung up with baptism, we forget the mode of baptism, that we forget the true thing that's happening in our lives. And he went on to say that some people believe you should dunk them forward. And then he said, some people think you should just hold them down until they really repent. Or some people think they have to go backwards. Or some people say the only way is immersion. And I'm not here to say it one way or another. I'm saying if the work of God is real in your heart this morning, let Him take that work and seal it. My mind goes to a beautiful passage in Acts. And we all know the story. It's so familiar, but it's powerful. It means so much to me when I open up the Word of God and I see the beautiful simplicity of baptism, and we've made it such a big complicated thing sometimes. And the beauty and the simplicity of God coming into someone's life and then putting His seal and stamp with baptism. Acts chapter 8. So here in this story was a great and smart treasurer. Beginning in verse 26 of Acts chapter 8. Here was a very smart man and a man that was in charge of all the treasure of his country. Often I'll go do my sales tax and I got to write the check out to the treasurer of the state. Well, here was the treasurer of a government official of the country of Ethiopia. And here he was, a very noble and very, man of honor in Queen Candace's court. And he was sitting in his chariot. I'm sure it was a beautiful chariot. You know, it was a chariot that that men of renown and honor drive. And I don't know, I envisioned somehow that there were white horses drawn this thing, but who knows? But it was probably very, you could probably pick it out a long way off, because Philip did. The angel of God took Philip there. He said, you need to go to Gaza, because I got a job for you to do there. I got a word that you need to preach for me to help a man who is very high up in the government, and yet he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand the gospel from Isaiah. And so here he was struggling, the eunuch. And I have such excitement within me when I read this, because I love what happens here. It's powerful what happens here. And it's simple and it's beautiful. But what happens is, Philip crawls up into the chariot with him. The Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. And so Philip ran thither to him and heard him and read the prophet, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said unto, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare that his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And so, you know what? Those words just didn't make a bit of sense. And those, of course, they were from Isaiah 53, a beautiful description, or a sad description, and yet a powerful description of what happened to Jesus when he went to the cross, and his life story, really. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip, and here's what I love, and baptism has so much to do with this. It's all about Jesus. Because what did he preach? He preached Jesus. Let's just read that. That just thrills me when I read it. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Jesus, it's Jesus, because he died and he rose again. And baptism has everything to do with that. It has everything to do with the power of Jesus Christ working within us, raising us up, resurrecting us from death unto life. He preached unto him Jesus. And that was because of Jesus that I stepped forward to be baptized, because of what he did in my life and the change that I felt coming over me from saying yes to the Lord. And I knew that he was calling me to baptism after I made that decision. It's all about Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And I love the eunuch's answer here. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That simple, that beautiful. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. It doesn't say how, he just said he baptized him. And so I don't think we have reasons to argue. although when you study it somewhat, you find yourself leaning one way very strongly. Because baptism, the word itself means immersion. The Greek meaning of baptized means, I checked it out, it means to immerse or to dip. But it's interesting, it never says how they do it. And so I think sometimes God lets that up to us to interpret. And I pray that we would never get into arguments over it and forget what baptism really is. And so they went down into the water, the Spirit of the Lord, and then they came up out of the water in verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. And he joined River of Life Church. No, he didn't join any church. It's interesting about the eunuch. It said that he came to Jerusalem because he wanted to worship. He longed for something deeper and more in his life. And it wasn't about joining a church. It was about knowing Jesus. It was about knowing who Jesus was. And he was so excited. It says he went on his way rejoicing. Sometimes I have people questioning me, Christians. You know, I love the Lord I'm walking with. Why does Jesus talk about being baptized? So I just wrote some of these questions down that I often hear. Baptism is an ordinance of the Lord. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:2, "Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." So it is a command, and Paul talks about it. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:10-15. It is a day-to-day spiritual battle for us all during our stay on this earth. Since God's word is one of the only offensive weapons that we have listed, it's the offensive weapons that he lists are the sword of the Spirit and praying in the Spirit, and this is one of them. And so, it is reasonable to conclude that we derive some spiritual protection from obeying it. This is especially true of the New Testament typological ordinances. I remember when I first read that years ago by a young man who studied the ordinances, it took me a while for that to sink in, but you know, there's a reason why God puts ordinances in his word. You know, we have a bad feeling sometimes when we think of, do the Amish call it ordnung? I don't know. But the word of God's ordinances are different than what man has put in place. And baptism, veiling, communion, feet washing are some of them. And God put those in place not because he wants to make our heart life hard. He put them in place so that we would have protection, so that we would get to know him better. And through obeying them, he's calling us to obedience, and he longs for us to be obedient to those that he puts in place because they are for our own good. They bring protection not only from things in this life, but the spirit world knows when we make decisions and we obey God's ordinances, Jesus' ordinances. They know that's a clear message to the spirit world that we live in. This brother or this sister has decided to follow Jesus and no turning back. So it is reasonable to conclude that we derive some spiritual protection from obeying it, the ordinances. S- Second thing I like to look at when I'm thinking of baptism, we should follow Christ's example. You know, we talk about following Jesus. We talk, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow. Well, Jesus, as our perfect example, laid down a beautiful example. It says in Mark 1:9, it says, "In those days Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River." And we remember how God's Spirit came down and said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." So, the next thing I'd like to look at is the third thing why I feel like baptism is extremely important for the believer is because Jesus Christ commands it. He says, "Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Matthew 28:19-20, teaching them to observe all things, which would be including the powerful ordinances and the ordinance of baptism he left with us to obey and follow. Because he knows the beautiful fruit that comes from a baptized believer who's walking in obedience. The third thing I'd like to look at is it demonstrates that I really am a believer. Acts 18:8, Crispus, if you read that scripture, it says, "Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized." Also, 1 John 2:3, it says, "By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments." If you wonder why you can't get close to Jesus, check the obedience of your heart to him. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. And the fourth thing I'd like to look at, what is the meaning of baptism? There are so many beautiful scriptures of the deep meaning of baptism. Baptism illustrates Christ's burial and resurrection. And Romans has some of the most beautiful verses, Romans 6, 1 through 11. Powerful verses. And then also, I'll read those in a minute, but and also in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 to 4, "For I have delivered unto you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." And that's 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. And then also Romans chapter 6. I just love this scripture. I remember in my early years struggling as a believer, when I read these, I just felt so empowered. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. I think I'll just stop there. Powerful scriptures on a beautiful meaning of baptism. When we say yes to Christ, we are acknowledging that we long to be dead with him, and that he's, and then we experience his resurrection power as we commit our lives. But baptism is very much connected with that. Also, Colossians 2, chapter 12, it says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. The fifth thing I'd like us to think about is baptism illustrates my new life as a Christian. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. Therefore, we have been buried with him, and again from Romans, through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life, Romans 6:4. Baptism, I just want to make this clear with you this morning. Baptism does not make you a believer. It shows that you already believe and you've made a decision to go deeper. Baptism does not save you only, Baptism does not save you, only your faith in Christ does. Some people like to think baptism saves them. No, it's only your faith in Christ. Baptism is the outward symbol of the commitment you made in your heart. It's an outward symbol of the commitment that you made in your heart. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. The outward element to be used in this ordinance is water, in which the person is to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Some people like to make arguments that it's only in the name of Jesus, as a couple times in Acts it talks about that. But they don't realize the transitional book that Acts was. They don't realize that some of those people that were baptized in the name of Jesus only had experienced John's baptism. And so that's one reason why Acts says some of the things that it does. But some people will build doctrines on that. And I pray to God we would not do that. Because the amazing thing is, when you baptize in the name of Jesus, you're baptizing all three Godhead. Because Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit, they're all one. So why make an issue out of that when they're all one to begin with? And when you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, you are baptizing in the name of Jesus. It's interesting how people like to pick little things out and confuse others. And when Jesus explicitly said with his own mouth in Matthew 28, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. The sixth thing I would look at was who should be baptized. Baptism is an ordinance of the New Testament ordained by Jesus Christ to be to the person who is baptized a sign of his fellowship with Christ in his death and resurrection, of his being engrafted into Christ, of remission of sins and of that person's giving up of himself to God through Jesus Christ to live and walk in newness of life. Engrafted in Christ, there is that word again. Of his being engrafted into Christ, of remission of sins, and of that person's giving up of himself. Those are the people God is looking for baptism. Of himself to God through Jesus Christ, to live and walk in newness of life. Old things are gone, and now there's new things pouring from your life. It's not the same thing anymore. I remember years ago in a chapel service in a prison in Belmont, and there was a young man that had just given his life to Christ, and he was still working on things in his life that was so ingrained in him, but you could tell the newness of Christ was working in his heart, because as he was testifying, he said one of his old swear words, and he stopped in the middle of his testimony. He said, "I'm sorry." He said, "I'm still adjusting to what Jesus is doing in my life." And he was very broken about it. There's new things that come out. You don't stick with. And if you do fail, God's Spirit prompts you and you say, "Yes, Lord, I want to experience the newness of your life. Deliver me from that." So there's new things happening. You're not going back to the old haunts of life. And if you do, the Holy Spirit is right there to help you and empower you in the newness of life that Christ is calling you to. Those who actually profess repentance towards God, faith in God, and obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ are the only proper subjects for this ordinance of baptism. This is for every person who has repented of his sin and placed his or her faith in Christ Jesus. And then Philip, I love what another story here from Philip just before he gets to the eunuch. It says, "But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." So a lot of people say, when should you be baptized? When are you old enough? You know, I don't think we should put God in a box with age. There are people that mature at older levels, younger levels. And it's when the Holy Spirit prompts you and says, you know, you need to go deeper. You need to take the next step in your Christian walk. You need to be baptized. Acts 2:41. "So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added 3,000 souls." So it's amazing. In Acts you read of these people coming to Christ, and immediately they were baptized. There wasn't a long waiting period. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit, and we see that in Acts 2:41. It was the work of the Holy Spirit in those believers. I love the words of Peter in Acts 3:19. "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." If you want continual presence of the Lord, obedience to his ordinances, continue to open up your heart to his presence, and you'll experience refreshment in your Christian walk, renewal. You know, I love the scriptures also, and I'm going to conclude with this. I love the scriptures about being sealed. You see this jar? What's in it is preserved. It's not going to spoil unless it unseals. then those beautiful vegetables wouldn't be so beautiful anymore. It wouldn't taste very good. Sometimes they unseal in a fruit cell and you don't know it. You go down and you go through your jars and you go, oh, there's one not sealed. And you open the lid and you go, oh. I love the scriptures in the New Testament on being sealed. I think sealed, that's the way I felt when I had given my heart and made the decision for baptism. I felt like it was God stamping his seal on the work that he had done in my heart, and he wants to preserve that just like these beautiful veggies. The work that he's done in your heart, he longs to put his seal, his stamp on your life, and baptism is a beautiful way. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. So you heard the word of truth and then you made your decision. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed. Ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now that can unseal. And it can also unseal in our lives. But if we walk in obedience, it will stay sealed. And he will preserve that work in our heart with good fruit pouring out. I also love the scripture, 2 Corinthians 1:22. It says it like this. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us in God, he who hath sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit of our hearts. Such a beautiful passage about being sealed. He which establisheth us with you in Christ. He longs to establish you and me, and a beautiful way to be established is to take that step of baptism, to go deeper in your walk. And hath anointed us in God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit of our hearts. That's all I have. God bless you. Well, you know, there's one other thing. There was a young man that I was reading some of his study. And here's what he said about baptism. And I'll conclude with this. He says, baptism, commanded for all believers, displays the burial of the old man and our resurrection into the newness of life in Christ Jesus. By this act, we show to men and angels the spirit world that we have accepted Jesus as our Savior and that we have now been placed in Christ by God the Father. God's blessing to you as you ponder his word this morning.